Well, who in the world said so? Who says so? I think we need to ask that question. That's the series. Last week we talked about this one, you remember? I'm not going to put you on the spot. Say, raise your hand if you remember. But it's like we're combating these things that people attribute to God that he never said. Like, I really only want for you to be happy. Now, it's interesting. I heard David Jeremiah this week talk about happiness, a new book by Randy Alcorn. I haven't read it, but he said that's causing him to rethink happiness. I didn't mean for a second that God is upset when you're happy, because every good thing comes from him, and happy is good. But it's still the underpinnings of what it's based on. That's not the only thing he's concerned about. So we're moving through these things because we really need to stand on God's word and his truth. So we're going to talk about another one today, and I'll get to it, and hopefully you'll be able to take that away. But I love what I read from Rick Warren a long time ago, or maybe heard him say, that he said, it seems like, and he probably wrote this maybe after his son's suicide, tragic death. He said, I used to think one thing in the different seasons, but he said, I realized that everyone is in the middle of a difficult season, coming out of one or getting ready to go into one. Isn't that encouraging today, depending on where you find yourself? And he said, it's kind of like a railroad track. And, you know, I was talking to a former retired pastor and his wife yesterday and just saying, you know, I think the thing that we underestimate so many times as we get older, the emotional toll that all the stuff takes on us, that we take on. You understand that? It's not just bad things, it's good things. How many know good things take an emotional toll too? You know, if you got grands galore running out, you know, all that, that's a wonderful thing, but man, oh man, it takes a toll. So we travel that path and we just kind of go from one track to another as we navigate life. I often say that navigating life is kind of like navigating Ohio weather. And we laugh about it, but we know it's true, man. When you have beauties like today, is there any place in the world where the weather's nice and right here? We don't have an ocean or anything, but we have some ponds and lakes, so we'll suffice. But so glad about that. Like the other day, Saturday, my dad always said, you mow the lawn on Sunday. I had to mow the church lawn. He wanted the line straight on Saturday so that things look great on Sunday morning. And so I was trying to still practice that. 68, you can't get away from your dad's words, you know, his words. So I was trying to get the yard mowed. And that Saturday, I don't know if you remember, at our house, and that doesn't mean here at the church, but at our house just a few miles away, it rained like 5 to 7 times when the sun was shining all around. What a mess we had on our hands. What a mess. But sometimes navigating life is like that. Those pop-up thunderstorms and showers, when they're least expected, they come. And in ways we never thought about, because you can't always be prepared for them until you go through them and live them. Agreed? So we want to talk about that. So there seems in life to be this creative tension. Whether you love Jesus or don't love Jesus, I mean, that's true. I mean, it can be complicated like that. And sometimes it seems like in these struggles I'm talking about, we can go into a slow spiral, a downward spiral that can at times be like a free fall and a free for all. But all kinds of life situations to people within the sound of my voice today, we're navigating those. As we travel, I like to say that ever-bending road of life. Whatever it may be for you, it could be a marriage situation or family, finances, health, friends, job, whatever the case may be, sometimes it seems like the weight is more than you can bear. And we're not sure, and maybe someone here today within the sound of my voice, you're not sure, you're really not sure. I mean, you're really not sure you can take much more. And in times like these, people say the strangest things. If you want to hear some things that should never be spoken to publicly, go to memorials and the viewings, and people are saying all these well-worn phrases that aren't biblical and don't make sense and they don't help at all. Can you remember? I mean, I know it's well-intended. Could I just give you a clue? Don't say anything. Just cry and hug somebody. Okay? That's just a pastoral tip there. But have you heard this one? And this is what I want to delve into today. Honey, God won't give you more than you can handle. Really? Could you look up the scripture reference for me? Well, I hear it. People do. Oh, here's another one that dovetails. And when God closes a door, he opens a window. I know those things mean well. And then I could go on. You've heard them. Forgive the person that said it. They were well intended. But here's what I want to say boldly today on the truth of God's word. The Bible does not say that God will never give us more than we can handle. Because life unfolds, and some of you are there right now in unexpected ways, the exact opposite of this belief. The truth is that life is hard, but also, and also, God is good. And his love endures forever. And that has to be our firm foundation. As I'm thinking about this and going into the just two simple points I want to leave with you today, someone does research, and man, if you ever come across great stories or illustrations, email those to me. Man, I'm always open. It's just they come in a timely fashion, and you never know. I tuck them away, and at the right time, they just provide so much help for me. But someone sent me some material written by a gal named Hosanna Wong. I'm not familiar with her, but she says so many times we end up viewing life, and we come up with these phrases because we're believing people who look through a broken lens at our lives and make judgments. Isn't that good? And I don't know if you know what a broken lens is, but if you wear glasses and you have a broken, what's it gonna get? It's gonna be distorted, isn't it? And people's views are so distorted. What else did you write? I paraphrased a couple things. She said, asking this question, saying, who is giving you your identity? In other words, who are you allowing to consume your thoughts, times, energy, and shape your views? And as your pastor, I caution you about that often. Be careful. Do a gut check about where people are coming from who are so influencing your lives in so many ways, whether you know it or not. And then I'm paraphrasing another statement she made. Only the one who created you can define you and determine your value. Do you believe that? And that's good news today. That's good news today. So let's talk about it in the middle of it. In the middle of, through it all, when we can learn to trust in Jesus and learn to depend upon his word, as my friend Andre wrote. Well, here's what I hear, and I'm directed to, and I hear this misquoted, maybe you do too, but in 1 Corinthians 10:13, have you heard something like this out of context? The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be, the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. Has you ever heard that voice out of that verse out of context? He's talking about temptation. I'm talking about the trials and ups and downs of life. There's a big difference there. The Bible never says that God won't give you more than you can handle. And I'm going to come to that. I'm going to come to that. That's a takeaway. He will provide a way out for temptation, for sure. I once heard an old-time pastor, he said he was going on and on, and he said, whoops, he said, it's like I'm on the freeway, and I just missed an exit, and I want to let you know it's a long way till the next one. If you've driven in the Southwest on the freeway, you know what he's talking about. I think it's applicable here. We need to choose the exit, Bible's talking about when temptation comes our way. But the Bible is filled, and I hope God's word is in you. It's filled with stories of people, real life people. I mean, they were really human. They lived in situations where godly people had much more than they could handle. Have you ever read Bible stories and you thought, how could have I done the Daniel or the David or whatever? But obscure as well, like Gideon. Remember, I'm the weakest and the least, and God picked on him. Moses, I'm slow of speech. I'm not a good leader. And look what God did with him. I mean, read Hebrews 11 about the hall of fame of faith. Esther, I'm afraid for my life. And look how God spared his people. David, I'm full of guilt and shame. Psalm 38:4, this is David saying, some of you can relate. My guilt overwhelms me. It's a burden too heavy to bear. Psalm 38:8, I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. Some of you can so relate to this. Aren't you glad that the Bible just lays out these characters in the reality of life? Doesn't whitewash anything. It's just what it is. It's all out there for us. And then I was thinking about Jesus this week and about him relating to all of us in our struggles in life because he came and lived and walked among us. And so... not minimizing in any way, but he wanted to go to the cross to honor God. We know that. But I can tell you humanly, he didn't feel good about going to the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't feel good about it because he looked ahead about to what he was going to endure. He knew about crucifixions and all that, and he knew what he was going to endure and suffer. And it wasn't going to be pleasant because when you're going through it, God never said it was going to be pleasant. He never said that. I think of Mark 14:33 that says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. You remember in the garden, and he told them, my soul, Jesus speaking, my soul is crushed. His emotions were engaged with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So I just want you to know today, wherever you are, that Jesus on this earth, he knew pain. He had to know pain, physical pain. Some of you think that working in the carpenter shop, if he slipped and hit his finger with whatever they used to pound nails with in that day and time, that it didn't hurt him. No, I think he knew what ouch meant, don't you? Jesus knew pain. He knew what it was to navigate this life for real. And here's what I want to tell you, the takeaway today, and I want to give you two quick things before we wrap up. I'm going to say this. I maybe could say it a little more succinctly, but here's the truth of God's word, I believe. And I pray, I do my best to not just pop off opinions, but to think about it. I want to present truth of God's word. But the truth is this, from my perspective biblically, I believe that God often allows more than we can handle. So we can experience his presence and power. That's my two points. God often allows more than we can handle, than I can handle, than you can, because we need to learn to depend upon him and the truth of his word and the promises and not go circumstantial because of the changeable weather that comes and goes. And we're talking this in real time, in real life. And I know, as I've touched many of you today, I know about some of the struggles. I don't know all of them. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. And I ask this as a pastor many times, God, why would you allow us to have more than we can handle? Have you thought about that? That's a struggle point for people, because that moves people sometimes toward atheism or being agnostics or whatever, because they can't believe a loving God would allow people like themselves or especially their circle of influence to suffer, to struggle. And I just want to talk about that for a moment or two, because I believe that life is made up of seasons. We talk about that at Worcester Naz, 5 seasons. What? I thought it was summer, wind, spring, or fall. I know the songs. The blessing season. Don't forget about that. That's the 5th season. And we're going to start it earlier this year. Just a heads up, we're going to start blessing season like the beginning of November. It's going by too quickly. So we're going to reinvent the blessing season just a little bit. I'm just giving you a heads up. But I wrote down, you know, we think of the Christmas cliche, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, I want to tell you, there's a reason for the seasons of life that you are in, that you've been in, that you're going to go through now. Do you trust him? Could it just be that you're into a growth curve right now, a growth spurt, and you're going to grow more through this difficult season you've been in? You don't feel it at the time because it's like working out. You feel weaker than ever, but you know when you work out, your muscles are depleted and they come back even stronger. Did you know God may be doing that in you and through you right now? And a lot of times we can't see it at the moment. We trust where we cannot see and don't understand, but our confidence is in his word, because his word never fails, and we move forward. So with that in mind, the first thing I think he wants, you can say it however you want, but in the storms, he's teaching us to depend upon his presence. Because you know what's automatic with his presence? Another P word, peace. Have you ever experienced peace in a situation that makes no sense, that you don't have answers for, when you're grieving, when you don't know what to say, all you can do is cry because some things are worth crying about, and that's a good thing. We shouldn't tell our kids, quit crying, don't cry, don't cry. We ought to be saying, it's okay, honey, cry. I'd cry too. If you knew what I knew and what was coming to you, you better start crying, honey. If you haven't heard the song that Andre wrote, pull it up. We sing it from time to time. I alluded to it earlier, but through it all. And I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all. You know, that's a declaration, like we're getting rebellious. We're going to stand in the storm. We're going to say, I believe God's promise. I'm depending on him and not what I can see with my eye, because my intelligence is so limited. My understanding is so limited. You know what he's trying to do, I believe, in the difficult times, the valleys, difficult times? I believe he's doing his best to get our attention, to say, I'm here, I'm near. The extremes of life today, some of you are down and out, and others of you are up and out. How many of you know that out is out? It doesn't matter if it's up or down. You know, there's a void, there's an emptiness inside, whatever the case may be. And I've determined this, have you, that when things seem to be going well in our lives and we're on easy street, it's really easy to forget God, and that's biblical. I mean, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you remember the question, and I won't read it, but verse 10, it says, be careful when you enter the land that I've given you, that I promised, when you eat and satisfied, and on down the next verse it says, do not forget the Lord your God. But that is when most people tend to forget. When life's going our way, we don't think we need to depend upon him every day. But then when we get in a jam, it's like, oh, I know you're there, God. I believe you're there. And I'll be sure to ask you for your help when I need it. When there's some urgent matter, I'll call on your name. But how many of you know he just wants us to call on his name all the time? That's what we're to do. I want you to think about this. And I know God's not man. That's for sure. But have you ever had a situation where you get a call or a text or email from somebody and you never hear from them and you just know down deep in your heart the only time you ever hear from them is when they want something? Have you ever had that occasion? You know. Okay, I just want to ask you, how do you feel about that? No matter what you say and how you act, how do you really feel down deep? You're saying, I wish they'd just call me sometime or reach out to me when they just wanted to check and say hi or something, whatever the case. But I'm suggesting at the same time, and I've spoken about it before, that a lot more of us need to pray the Peter prayer a lot sooner than he did before he started sinking, and that was basically, help Jesus save me, right? How many of you know that Jesus loves for us to cry out, help, help? I've told you before, but I'll tell you again, we always have so many new people, I don't feel like I'm repeating myself. But I had a nephew who was very strong-willed. My sister, her husband was at Ohio State Ohio State Medical Center school at the time. And she had her hands full. I mean, he was a corker. I mean, and we particularly hated nap time and bedtime. I mean, he fought it. And I remember one time we were there and he was up in his room and he didn't want to sleep and he just started wailing and hollering. It just didn't stop. How many of you know that'll drive you to distraction? Would not stop. So finally, he starts wailing, Daddy, help me. Mommy, help me. And he'd do it over and over again and to no avail. He wouldn't get anywhere. So finally, there was a pause. We thought, he's done. Then he burst out, Jesus, help me. Well, Jesus must have helped him because he's a pastor now. This morning, he's standing before a crowd. But you know, sometimes little kids can teach us, can't they? Because he loves to hear from us. He loves to hear from us, no matter what the situation. And he wants us to depend on his presence. I, sometime in the last year or two, did a little series on Jonah, and I'll just encapsulate it, a story of Jonah in the Bible, Jonah and the whale, the wheel, that's a new story, but I just invented it. Jonah and the whale, and he was on the run from God because he basically didn't want to do what God had called him to do. And as you read the history of it, you know that he couldn't stand the people God called him to go and preach to. They were horrible people, godless people, and he frankly didn't want them to be saved. Doesn't that sound horrible? But that's the history of it. And things went from bad to worse. He went on the run, tried to hide from God. Oh my, we need to learn too that you can't outrun God, you can't hide from him. But Jonah tried, and he tried and he tried and he ended up in the belly of a fish. That's where some of you may be today because you're on the run. Because God let you down or you don't want to do what he's asked you to do. You may be in your own belly of a fish in the deep. But do you know it was in that place that God did not abandon him. In fact, he showed himself strong. And in that unlikely place, probably with seaweed wrapped around his head and his teeth like sushi, whatever, God finally got his undivided attention. And God will use situations and circumstances to get our attention. So let me just read a couple of verses to refresh our memory in Jonah 2:1-2. Jonah prayed to God, the Lord his God, from inside the fish. And he cried, and he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. So what I want to say today is that no matter where you are, if you cry out to the Lord, he will hear your heart. He will hear your cry. He will welcome your call. And then in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, he goes on, he says, as my life was slipping away, I mean, he thought it was over. Do you blame him? He said, when my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. God is so often overlooked in our successes. That's not the way it should be, but that's often the way it is. But Jonah, in his distress, he remembered the Lord and called out to him. And I want to say for a lot of us, it's in our distress that we remember the Lord and call out to him. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. It's not too late. Just because you're distressed doesn't mean God's stressed. It doesn't mean he's distressed. He is always available. He wants to hear his children call. Don't you? How many times as a parent or grand, when you finally find out something your kids, grown or otherwise, have struggled with, and they finally come to you, and you just say, honey, why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you ask for help sooner? How many of you know that's just a glimpse of how much more God loves us and wants us to call? He's not going to shut us out and turn away. Okay, this is the fifth time you've called out for me today for help. I'm crossing you off the list. The line is busy. He doesn't do it. He says, I'm here. I'm available for you. Is anybody glad about that? In the middle of storm, it's common for us in our human lack of understanding to wonder about God. Where is he? If God was here, this wouldn't be happening. That sounds familiar. It doesn't like a Bible story. I don't understand. Why is God allowing this to happen to me, to us? I prayed and I prayed. Nothing's happened. God isn't with me. The only problem is that doesn't go with Scripture because he's near. I don't have the answer for this, but I thought about that, loving history like I do, and I'm thinking about the anguish prayers that were often during the Holocaust by those people that were incarcerated, those horrible, horrible termination concentration camps. Can you imagine the confusion and all? Can you imagine that when you read stories that people persevered and came all the way through that? It's truly a miracle of God. They didn't have answers for their questions. But I do know this, and I think as I've heard many, like a Corrie Ten Boom and others, and read about them, their advice would be never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God, because God specializes in the storms. He's there. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy, for example, he says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will go personally ahead of you. Well, Pastor, that's a different concept. No, I believe this can follow with the New Testament as well. He will go personally ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I grew up hearing, he will never leave you or forsake you. Has anybody found that to be true? Never. Never. Psalm 121, I don't have it listed, 1 and 2 says, I look to the mountains, but where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the mountains. I'm paraphrasing there. Who made it all. My confidence in the God who created everything that is. And I can stand. God will never give up on you. So I just want to challenge you, don't you ever give up on him. He'll never give up on you. You're not too T-O-O anything, too far, too sinful, too anything. He has not given up on you. He sees you through an all-knowing God lens. And he sees you as fearfully and wonderfully made. In spite of your past or even your present, he knows what the future can be. There it is, Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Are you calling on him? That shouldn't be your last option. That should be our first choice. About anything and everything, we wait too long. It's not too late, but we wait too long, and we suffer so many things because we didn't call on him soon enough. To all who call on him in truth, based upon the character and nature of God, who he is, he wants us to remember his goodness and be drawn into his presence. And he will allow us the Jonah moments to get in situations where we choose to call on his name because he finally has our undivided attention. You okay out there? You okay up there in the corners? I said I'd wave at you. I recently heard Coach Tressel share, former Ohio State coach, his testimony on our district pastor Wendell Brown's Tragedy to Triumph that he does with testimonies. Had some great testimonies this year. And in that address, he was sharing his testimony of God's faithfulness through the storm and through his dismissal and all the things that happened to Ohio State. But he briefly mentioned a former player. Does this sound familiar? Maurice Clarett. Does anybody know that name? Now, give me some support out there. Give me some love out there. I think he played for them and got hurt. I think he was in their national championship year. Maybe was one of them. But listen, This is public knowledge domain, but he said, through poor choices and great difficulty, this player, Maurice, finally chose to call out to the Lord. And you ought to look at his story. But he later said from his own lips and heart, he said, the Lord used this horrible time in my life to knock me to my knees. Had this not happened, he said, I don't know where I'd be today. And somebody said, yeah, you'd be in the NFL. He said, no, my life would have been a mess. He said, I wouldn't even be here. God used this valley from his testimony in his life to draw him to his great love. And Maurice experienced the presence of God in the valley, in prison no less. Hey, I got good news for you. God can get to you wherever you may be today. Because some of you aren't incarcerated physically, but emotionally and spiritually, you are. I mean, the prison door has slammed shut. God can reach you where you are. Hey, I'm sharing good news today. And I've just got a few minutes to give you my last points. Not only does he want you to experience his presence is always good. His presence is always peace-filled, peaceful. And then people begin to ask a reason for the reason of the hope that you have within you. You go, well, it's not me, it's all him. But the second thing is this. He wants you to experience his power, his strength. He wants to allow you to go through whatever you go through to know that the all-surpassing greatness and power is not from you, it's the God who is in you and lives in you and through you, who can give you a testimony, can give you a song in the darkest night, in the prison hour, when you're incarcerated, locked up in circumstances, he can give you a song that can pierce the darkness and release the light. And that's true of all of us today. Would you allow him to be in your life, to experience his power? This comes through a relationship with him. Too many of us are trying to do life on our own. And I know that's a fine balance. I believe in a work ethic, and I believe in doing the things we need to do, but we were never created to do life on our own. I think of Paul, who in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, but just a phrase says that three different times, I beg the Lord to take it away. Have you ever been there? I've been in that position. I beg the Lord sometimes to take something away or to fix something, and it did not work out how I intended, but beyond it, I could see how God was working in those most difficult and dark times. Can anybody join me in that? I didn't see it at the time. I didn't understand it. I had to go by what I really believed about God. Didn't mean I never had doubts. But I think of Paul, I mean, I like to say he was a good one, if there was a good one. He asked, begged, and pleaded God to remove this thorn, whatever. And there were probably many others who were praying and believing and laying hands on him. And am I thinking, if anybody God was gonna touch, it should be Paul. I mean, he was a good candidate. Don't you think he deserved it? I'm sure he had the faith. But I flipped to 2 Corinthians 12:9. And here's the resounding reply. Each time the Lord answered his dear friend Paul, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So be weak and let him be strong. Because if we think we're strong, it's about us. Let him be powerful in you. I've been on a CeCe Winans kick lately. If you haven't heard her latest albums, you ought to get them and listen to them. But I love that song, Greater, the line, she got, you know, only as she can do it. Since he's greater, let him be greater. If he's higher, let him be higher. That's what she's saying there. Let God be God in this present moment, in this circumstance. Let God be all that he is and trust him in the dark. I call this a dependency declaration factor. Paul finally got it, and so must we. Let's be careful that we don't continue, listen, play on words, to live, to operate in the weakness of our own strength. Our strength is really weak. Let's live in the strength of his power, his presence in our life, no matter what the situation may be. The Bible still says in Romans 8:26a, the Holy Spirit helps us in our what? Weakness. Doesn't say, helps us in our strengths. He helps us in our weakness because we depend on him. Some of you are into boating and things like that, and I just throw this out. Maybe living in his strength, maybe it's time to do less rowing and more sailing, to hoist the sail and let his spirit move us. when I was a kid. You remember those old wooden fishing boats rowing? My cousin and I, Joel was his name. We were both pretty athletic in those days. We just row in circles and try to see how fast we could go in circles. You ever try that in the middle of a lake? It's really a great time, really great time. Now I realize our parents probably paid us to do that to wear us out, you know. But we laugh, but that's what we do a lot of times. We just row in circles and don't go anywhere, and it's time to hoist the sail, saying, Lord, in my weakness, I'm all yours, palms up, surrendered. Take me where you will. I want to go where the Spirit is blowing, where the Spirit is moving. Well, I hope this is helping somebody today. I don't believe it's an accident that we're here. You're here. I don't believe it's an accident that we're talking about this today because the Lord knows you need it. I don't think it's an accident that God's presence was so powerful in worship today. Do you? Because He's here. He's just trying to get your undivided attention today. I've got more. I always have more notes than I have time for. But here's the thing I'm saying to you. I never want to oversimplify the gospel or overlook the gospel. A lot of us try to cash in on God, and He hears us wherever we are for Him. But what He wants, first of all, He wants us to come into a love relationship with Him. And a lot of the blessings and benefit that we want to claim in the Bible, those are true for people who choose to call on His name. And the first thing was called, say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to come into my heart and life. I'm so sorry for my sin, my rebellion, whatever it is. I confess it. I repent of it. I turn from it. I'm giving my life to you. I want to live palms up from here on out in my life. How many of you know that's a life-changing decision? You never get over that. That takes you all the way to eternity. But that's a starting point. And I always worry as a pastor that you know, we give invitations all the time and that we can just hear it and we can go, yeah, yeah, and come and go. But the challenge is there. You've got to choose. Nobody can make that choice for you. You have to. Nobody can call on the Lord's name for you. You have to be willing to call on His name. You have to be willing to say, like my nephew, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. And He will. He will. But that's the place to begin. And I pray that you won't just come and go, or online, come and go, come and go. And you hear it and your heart's moved, the Holy Spirit stirs it, but you never come to a decision. Because when you invite Jesus into your life, He comes in with His presence and with His power, and that's where the secret of strength is. Amen? I'm gonna invite you to stand as we conclude, if you will, please. I'll say it again. I hope you can say it in your own words. God does allow more than we can handle so that we can experience His presence and power, His peace and His strength right now. Would you just go palms up today as we conclude and sing and pray? You can do it where you are. You can pray at home. You can slip to your chair or to your knees, whatever. Our stairs and altars are all over. You can pray alone. You can pray with people. There's nothing more important with this. But God has our undivided attention for a few moments here. Could we respond? Could you choose to respond? Could this be the day you open your heart and say, Jesus, I say yes to you. Come into my heart and life. I'm going to live for you. Could this be the day when you go palms up and say, I'm going to quit rowing, I'm going to hoist the sail, and I'm going to let the wind of the Spirit begin to move me where you want me to go? Father, thank you for these precious people that I'm privileged to bring the word to on a regular basis. May we not just be hearers of it, but may we be doers of the word. May we draw strength and comfort from it. And I believe that somebody's life could be changed by the power of your word today, making choices to align with the truth of God's word, regardless of our circumstance. May you be the God of all comfort. May you encourage those who are struggling to call out to you, not later, but right now, as soon as we can, to call out to you about everything, because you draw near. You're close. You're close, the Bible says also in another passage, you're close to the brokenhearted, but you're close to all who call out. We want to call out to you. We want to live through a godly lens, your view of our life, created to be children of the Most High God, and we want to live in that hope and with those promises. So as we conclude today, may we hold this message and may we put into gear some action steps about what you want us to do, what that looks like, investing our life in relationships or whatever, to pour out our lives as a sacrifice to you. I pray in Jesus.